Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hi, everyone. It's Helen here, the voice of Azu, Enola, and Laverne. Today, I'm here to tell you about Woe Begone, a podcast launched on the RQ Network. Woe Begone is a weekly horror sci-fi audio drama series about the nature of power and the implications of linear time. Woe Begone follows Mike Walters, who discovers a mysterious and violent online game. What begins as an exploration of an alternate reality game with real-life consequences quickly becomes a search for the technology that makes the game possible. Each episode has a unique soundtrack composed by creator and writer Dylan Griggs. Listen to Woe Begone, spelled Woe period Begone, wherever you listen to podcasts, or check out woebegonepod.com for episodes and transcripts. Have fun, and see you later.
Hi everyone, Ben here. I'd just like to take a moment to thank some of our patrons. Brian Karras, Brittany Shaw, Katerina, Laura Hill, Patrick Schneeweiss, Mary S., David Hicks, Jeremy McCaddy, Muriel Rousselon, Luke Alexander Bertram Morton. Thank you all. We really appreciate your support. If you'd like to join them, go to www.patreon.com/rustyquill and take a look at our rewards.
Rusty Quill presents The Magnus Archives. Episode 92. Nothing Beside Remains.
What's your emergency?
Police, please.
Hello?
Yes, I'm calling to report a crime in progress.
Sir, are you in any immediate personal danger?
Yes. Not immediately, but I will be shortly.
Sir, where are you calling from?
Could I speak to your chief inspector, please? Tell her Elias Bouchard is calling. Of the Magnus Institute.
Oh, sure.
Thank you.
Chief Inspector Calgary.
Ah, yes. Good afternoon. Sorry to bother you. I believe you're looking for Detective Alice Tonner.
Do you know where she is?
I do, yes. She should be here in about 15 minutes.
I'll send some officers over immediately.
That will be wonderful. Much appreciated. Statement of Barnabas Bennett, as given in a short letter to Jonah Magnus. April 9th, 1824. My dear Jonah, you must help me. If anyone is still here, it is you. I know your work brings you into contact with all sorts of fantastical terrors, so perhaps you might have it within your power to save me from this place. And it was you who warned me not to cross Mordecai Lucas, advice that I have, I'm afraid, disregarded. It was a small enough thing, as I believed, a trifling debt I fell behind on, and when he met me in that garden, quiet as it is always with him, he demanded repayment. Well, I took it poorly and laughed at his insistence. Bring it before the courts, I told him. After all, what judge would find in his favour over mine? He simply regarded me silently for many minutes, staring with such a cast to his face that I could feel my resolution beginning to falter. You shall pay me, he said at last, in kind. Then he walked away. Let me tell you, Jonah, I believed myself profoundly lucky that day as my hansom deposited me on the steps of my townhouse, a mood only slightly shaken by the impression that as the cab pulled away, it seemed to have no driver that I could discern. I am lucky, Jonah, but only in so far as that I never married, never fathered children, never let anyone get closer than my brother. The pangs of loneliness I feel are no more acute than my general longing for the company of my fellow man. I have no one whose absence truly pains me. And yet here, in this empty world, I cannot but spend these nights, these dreadful silent nights, huddled and frozen in some terrible fear I find myself unable to name. I almost think I hear the mocking joy of my friends, but there is nobody here, and never shall be again. I try to read, to lose myself in something that is not the absence of humanity. How is it that the books speak to me of my isolation more acutely than the silence? For every treatise I read on this world and its workings, the more I know I am to spend my time left in it without comfort or reprieve. With every tale of love or society, I feel more keenly the absence of both. I went to Egypt once with the Royal Society, to the temple of Ramses II in Abu Simbel. The place was remarkable, of course, but what sticks so keenly in my mind is the journey. 2 days earlier, on the road from Aswan, I found myself separated from my fellow travellers. I do not know how it happened, but I spent 2 hours alone there, under the blazing sun, staring across the vast, empty expanses of that ancient country. I revelled in the silence then, embraced the loneliness like an old friend, but now that friend has devoured me, and I shall not emerge from its jaws. Not without your help. And you must help me, Jonah. If anyone knows of what might break me from this dreadful place, it is you. I know that what is done by those I cannot see might be felt here. I have found glasses broken and pages torn that were not so the night before. It is my hope that if I leave a letter here in your institute, you might find it. You might be able to save me. I have no other hope. Please, Jonah, if you have any compassion within your heart, you will not leave me in this place. Your loyal servant, Barnabas. Jonah Magnus did leave him in that place, John. He got the letter, oh yes, and was on good terms with Mordecai Lucas. He could have interceded, perhaps even saved him, but he did not. And it was not out of malice, or because he lacked affection for Barnabas Bennett. He retrieved those bones sadly enough when the time came. Bones that you can still find in my office, if you know where to look. No, it was because he was curious, because he had to know, to watch and see it all. That's what this place is, John. Never forget it. You may believe yourself to have friends, to have confidants, but in the end, all they are is something for you to watch, to know, and ultimately to discard. This, at least, Gertrude understood. Let us begin.
Sorry to interrupt. John's here, and he seems angry. I actually think he's brought a
Bouchard. Easy.
Hello, Elias.
Goodness, John. Whatever happened to your hand? And your neck?
That one was me.
You look a mess.
I've had a hell of a week.
Martin, would you be so good as to fetch Melanie and Tim? I think it would be worth their time to be here.
Right. Okay, I'll just... What, go then?
Okay, let's do this.
John, do you want to get this on tape?
No need, Basira. I've already got one running. Now, you have something to ask me?
Go for it. Before I strangle the grinning bastard.
Elias, did you kill Gertrude Robinson and Leitner?
That's quite nice, actually. Tingly, but sort of freeing. You know, even Gertrude never properly tried to compel me. I always wondered.
Just answer the question.
Or don't.
Oh, no need to worry about that. I just feel it's only fair to wait for your colleagues, John. They'll want to hear this too. It's also very important to me, in a personal capacity, that you understand I'm answering you of my own free will.
I don't care.
I know, but I do. There's so much of this place, and of ourselves twisted by forces far beyond us. I just wanted you to know...
Okay, so I've got everyone, but I'm honestly kind of lost as to what's happening.
Oh, Christ, what is it now?
Yes, same question, please.
Elias here is about to confess his crimes.
What?
Oh, good.
Is that like a...
Yes, I was just saying to John, it's very important to me that you understand that no action I have taken has been controlled. I have done everything because I wished to.
Get to the point.
Of course, Detective. So, for the avoidance of any doubt, I killed Gertrude Robinson because she intended to destroy the archives, and I killed Jürgen Leitner because he was an unnecessary complication, likely to tell John too much too early.
Bloody hell!
Sorry.
That guy was Jürgen Leitner!
It was.
Maisie, where do I know that name from?
Oh, the Yusuf case, an introduction to higher anatomy.
Oh. Oh, God. And you killed him? You sure we shouldn't be giving him a medal? Oh,
very sure.
And Sasha? Did you kill her too?
Sasha died almost a year ago, Martin.
What?
Oh, God.
When Prentice attacked something else, it replaced her. I still don't know how, but...
God damn it, this is...
It wasn't... Sasha!
He's right, Martin. The thing you remember as Sasha was nothing like her. It toyed with your memory. If I showed you a picture of the real Sasha now, you'd have no idea who it was.
So that thing we saw?
Precisely. It finally tried to kill John, then Leitner killed it, then I killed Leitner. And I believe that brings us up to date, more or less.
What about Michael?
What about him? An irritant. Interfering because he's bored and he resents us. He has no
right,
purpose.
Right, that's enough for me. Even got it on tape. Everyone get back.
What? Oh,
Daisy, wait.
Out the way.
Now... Hang on, I thought you were about
get
to arrest...
Get out him. The way!
John, do something!
Don't.
Excuse me. Yes?
Elias, there's some police officers here to see you.
Yes. Thank you, Rosie. Could you ask them to wait a minute or two?
Yep, will do.
There. That should make it even easier for you, right, Detective? I know you were planning to kill me, but surely an arrest is a consolation prize.
Daisy?
Oh, didn't she tell you why she hadn't gone back to the station? Allow me. She rightly suspected that I held evidence of various murders she had committed, and that I sent this to her superiors. She's quite the killer, your partner. All in the public good, of course. And she was correct. I spent some time acquiring that evidence, or creating it. And while your superiors don't much care about the killings, the fact there is proof, they're not happy. And they want you brought in.
So I kill you and go to jail. I'll take that deal.
For someone who used to be a detective, you're remarkably reluctant to think things through. You think you're the only police officer eager to do violence and call it justice? No. There are plenty of other rabid dogs out there, mad with the hunt, and some of them have signed a Section 31. There are plenty of others your superiors can call on to clean up this mess.
They wouldn't.
Yeah, they would.
And anyone close enough to be implicated, they will kill Basir.
Okay, wait. That's the police that you're talking about, okay? They wouldn't. Would they?
I'm sorry, Basira. Yeah.
If the officers down there take you away... But perhaps I was wrong when I called them... Maybe it was a false alarm.
What do you want?
Collateral.
That... What?
A contract of employment for Basira.
What?
Oh, no.
Sign it, and I'll send your ex-colleagues on their way.
Basira, I...
Don't do it.
There.
Damn it.
False alarm, Rosie. Could you apologise to the officers for me and thank them for their time?
All right.
So, what, you're her boss now? Is that supposed to stop me?
Yes.
I mean, she's still got a gun.
Ah, of course. Sometimes I forget how new you all are to this. Basira is now tied to the Institute. All of you are. Like fingers on a hand. And I am the beating heart of it. Should I, or the Institute be destroyed, you will all, unfortunately, follow suit.
Wait, what?
Yep. That sounds about right.
And it would not be a pleasant death.
Bullshit!
Then shoot me. Just squeeze the trigger and watch the only person you care about die screaming. Your last connection to humanity. Do it.
Daisy.
What do you want?
The police are not the only ones who can find a use for your violence. I'm sure there'll be plenty here for you to do. Feel free to go where you like in the meantime. I'll be in touch.
You peace out.
Daisy, it's okay. We'll figure something out.
This is insane!
You get used to it.
Now that's taken care of, if you'll all give me and John a moment alone, I'm sure we have some things to discuss.
Yeah.
Come on.
So?
Come on, John. There's really no need for the scout.
What do you want?
Honestly, to offer some congratulations. You're doing a lot better than I expected.
Feels like all I've managed to do is not die.
And believe me, that is a remarkably rare skill.
I'm not getting any answers out of this, am I?
The easily digestible sort that wipe away any doubt and fear and neatly organise your new world into happy little columns? No, not from me. These are things you must discover on your own.
Why?
What are you?
The archivist.
Precisely. It is your job to chronicle these things, to experience them, whether first-hand or through the eyes of others. To simply be told that, well...
It doesn't please your master.
Our master, John.
I never chose this.
You never wanted this, no. But I'm afraid you absolutely did choose it. In 100 ways, at 100 thresholds, you pressed on. You sought knowledge relentlessly, and you always chose to see. Our world is made of choices, John, and very rarely do we truly know what any of them mean. But we make them nonetheless.
So what now?
You were doing fine before you forced this little scene. I suggest you continue.
So it was you sending me the statements?
A little bit of direction never hurt anybody. So to speak.
Directed towards what?
The unknowing. I need you to stop it.
Again with... What is the unknowing, exactly?
A ritual. The stranger and its kin attempting to gather power enough to bring it closer.
They're trying to... what? Summon it?
Not exactly. These things that touch us, they don't have a form of the sort that could exist in physical reality, so the stranger wishes to remake that physical reality into something closer to itself. It wants to make this world its own.
And how do I stop it?
That is what you need to find out.
No, you are not doing that. I know you have Gertrude's notes, her files. She was working on a way to stop this. Not to mention that apparently you can effortlessly see anything at any time.
Hardly effortlessly, but I take your point.
So obviously you know how to stop it. You could just tell me.
I could. But I believe that if I did so, you would fail. The stranger is antithetical to us. We thrive on ceaseless watching, on knowing too much. What we face is the hidden, the uncanny, and the unknown. If you were to stop them, you need to get better at seeing. And my explaining things is simply not enough.
And you can't just give me all the statements.
John, even when you had all of them at your disposal, you barely got through one statement a week. Why do you think that is? It takes its toll on you, and I know you have had problems with moderation.
So it's back to breadcrumbs and statements and risking my life talking to things that barely remember how to be human anymore.
For now, I'll be in touch. Anything else?
Am I... Elias, am I still human?
John... What does human even mean? I mean, really. You still bleed, you can still die. And your will is still your own, mostly. That's more than can be said for a lot of the real humans out there. You're worried about ending up like that thing lurking in the dirt under the streets of Alexandria. Don't be. Just do what you need to do and you'll be fine. Understood?
I suppose so.
Good. Well, I have work to be getting on with. I'll send you a return to work form, but don't worry about the doctor's note. Now, If there's nothing else, right.
The Magnus Archives is a podcast distributed by Rusty Quill and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Sharealike 4.0 International License. Today's episode was written by Jonathan Sims and directed by Alexander J. Newell. To subscribe, view associated material, or join our Patreon, visit rustyquill.com. Rate and review us online, tweet us at @TheRustyQuill, visit us on Facebook or email us at mail@rustyquill.com. Join our communities on the forum via the website or on Reddit at r/TheMagnusArchives. Thanks for listening.
Hi everyone, it's Helen here, the voice of Azu, Enola, and Laverne. Today, I'm here to tell you about Woe Begone, a podcast launched on the RQ network. Woe Begone is a weekly horror sci-fi audio drama series about the nature of power and the implications of linear time. Woe Begone follows Mike Walters, who discovers a mysterious and violent online game. What begins as an exploration of an alternate reality game with real-life consequences quickly becomes a search for the technology that makes the game possible. Each episode has a unique soundtrack composed by creator and writer Dylan Griggs. Listen to Woe Begone, spelled Woe, period, Begone, wherever you listen to podcasts. Or check out woebegonepod.com for episodes and transcripts. Have fun, and see you later.